You must learn to fail before you learn to succeed. Unfortunately, most people are afraid to fail. If you want to be successful, though, you can't be afraid to fail. That's the key to success. If you fall one or two times and you stop pursuing your dream, you're not ready yet. You're not ready for the dream to happen yet. You don't learn anything from winning. You learn from losing, falling down, making mistakes. That's how you learn to succeed.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Bartender's Jukebox. Yesterday's episode, we talked about men's mental health. So I'm going to leave you in on a statistic here. Over 6 million men in the United States alone, just in the United States alone, each year suffer from depression. That's 6 million brothers out there that are going through this. I mean, that's not just a fraction. I mean, it's millions of us. Put that into perspective. So much of it goes untreated. You know, I wish I could really, like, give you a better insight with that. But, I mean, it's 6 million of us. You know, 6 million go untreated. And then there's 3 million others that suffer from panic disorders or anxiety disorders or some kind of phobia. And it all goes untreated because we're too proud to go get it checked out. We just think that, oh, this is our normal life and stuff like that. You know, progressively as I've grown older, I went through a lot of, like I said before, in previous podcasts, I never really divulged the secrets of my life, but I did go through a pretty rough past. In school, I was bullied. I mean, at 14, I was already losing my hair. At age 13, my voice got real deep like this, you know? And it was just a changing period for me. Kids used to always pick on me and stuff like that. I always had glasses. I mean, let's be real. I'm partially blind. When I say partially, I'm blind in my right eye. I can see from it. I have a neurological disorder, but I always had to wear the big Coke bottle glasses, and kids picked on me like crazy for it. You know, I went to school. I might not have had the most trendiest clothes because that's all my parents could afford. And kids would be brutal. I mean, they'd steal shit from you and, you know, make fun of you in all kinds of ways. And it takes a toll when you're growing up. And anybody that went to school with me that's listening to this, you know, you're hearing the battles I'm fighting at school, but I fought a lot of battles at home that y'all didn't know about. And, you know, it's one of those things that growing up in the environment you grow up in, you perceive the world to be, like, in certain ways, especially when it's left untreated for a very long time. Yeah, I guess I'm going to say this. So, around at age 20, I tried to kill myself. Me and my father had one big blowout one last time when he was drinking. And my father nearly killed me that night. I knew I had to leave the situation, and ever since I left that situation, I never looked back. Which caused a lot of issues. Like, I kind of avoided family in the long run because of it. And was it fair to some of the family that didn't know about it now? It really wasn't. But it's kind of an is-what-it-is situation here later on in life. You know, and right now all I can do is just talk about my story, and hopefully it makes a positive impact on somebody that's listening that's younger than me, or even somebody that's older than me right now that's had a on-the-rocks relationship with one of their parents, or just somebody in general. I think y'all need to hash that shit out and make it right. You know, I mean, in my past, I tried my best to, but like again, my father was a strong Vietnam vet. At one point when I would go through some of the unwanted fights with him and stuff like that, I was just a kid. My dad was 300 plus pounds. You know, I became a bartender. And here's the reason why I became a bartender. I became a bartender because I wanted to know why my dad acted the way he did when he drank. And it was kind of my mission, you know, to figure that out. Me and my dad would fist fight a lot. And when you're a kid and you're 300 pounds, and your dad's 300 pounds, I mean, you fight for your life. Sometimes you'd have blackout moments. I don't know if it was from Vietnam or what, or the alcohol. But sometimes they would get really, really physical in some aspects. All aspects. They were all physical. And I questioned why. Like, what did I do to deserve this? A lot of times it would just happen, and for no reason at all. So I kind of, like I said, I made it my mission to figure out why my dad would do that when he got drunk. And when I did this process of getting into the business of bartending, I've come to the conclusion you really can't pinpoint that, because there's been so many different interactions and contacts I've had over the years with customers that you don't really know what can trigger it. I don't know what that person went through, you know. Maybe it was something in my dad's past that for whatever reason, I don't know. But it made it a rough road for me growing up. And you know, a lot of times I gotta grin and bear it, you know, I'm wearing that on my sleeve these days. Nobody really knew that about that kind of struggle I went through in my past. And it's one of those things, if you ever wanna like sit down and talk about this kind of stuff, we definitely can. Because it's hell sometimes what us guys go through. You know, I don't know if my dad thought he was trying to weather me for the storm or whatever, but at the same time, I grew up in an environment where I was taught to be seen and not heard. And if you spoke up, you got smacked. That's just the way it goes, the way it went for me, unfortunately. You know, a lot of times when I was younger and when those moments would happen, I mean, I'd feel like I was fighting for my life in some cases. So, like I said, when I was 20, me and my dad had our last one. And it took me down a dark path for a few years. I couldn't figure out where my own 2 feet were. At one point in time, I was even homeless for a month. And I lived out of my car. Yeah. Bear with me right now if I get a little choked up talking about this, because I don't really talk about this stuff much. And maybe this, like I said, this podcast has been a good outlet for me to speak about things. And yeah, at that point in my life, though, I mean, I wanted it over with. I figured I'm not going to take this mental torment, physical beating, or mental beating anymore. And it didn't work out in my favor. Well, it didn't work out in my favor, as I would say, but it really was it a favor? No. It was an eye-opener, more or less. From that moment there, I figured God had another plan for me. Now, I don't really get into religion too much because, you know, everybody has their own belief on that. I do believe in a higher being. I will leave it at that for right now. Maybe later on this segment or this episode, I know I'm going to divulge into conspiracies and stuff like that. Maybe we can even touch on a little bit of a religion stuff too, if you like, because it's all fascinating to me in a sense. But yeah, so like I was saying, for 6 million men in this country go untreated with depression. 6 million. That's fucking insane. Like, we're all too proud to go to the doctor and get a check. Like, what's all, it's just like our daily normal. Like, you know, like we have this constant weight on us. Like, we're like looming over us. So we just got to pick our heads up and just keep pushing through it and pushing through it. And if we say anything, like we're some big pussy for even fucking acknowledging it. You're not. In any way, shape, or form, you're not. You know, you gotta acknowledge that shit. You gotta acknowledge the stuff that's fucking driving you crazy inside or weighing you down, whatever it is. That's how you make it through it. But I mean, 6 million. Guys, if you're feeling this way, you know, go hit the gym. Get out, take a walk. Go to a doctor. Talk to your boy. Whatever it is, be open about your shit. What's going on with you? You have to. If you don't, it's going to take you down a dark path at some point in your life, no matter what when that is. For me, it was in my early 20s, and I felt like these past 2 months, when I was on my back because of the surgery, and the surgery alone, I mean, fucking drives me up a wall because originally, and maybe it was me being naive or whatever, I don't know, optimistic, realist, not realistic. But when I went in for the surgery, the MRI didn't show too much. The doc said, "Oh, I'm going to go in and clean you up a little bit. There might be a little tear in there we'll take care of." All right, doc. No problem. I figured I'd be back on the move and mend in no time. Well, I opened my eyes and come to find out my labrum was completely ripped off the bone in my shoulder. I went 3 days with a dislocated shoulder at one point and didn't even realize it. And 60% of my rotator cuff was torn. So he went in and fixed all that up, and ended up being a way longer process than what it should have been, or at least what I thought it would have been. Since then, I've had lack of function in my left arm. Kind of have to learn how to use it all over. Atrophy set in from having my arm at a 90-degree angle for a month and a half. My muscles spasm like crazy because a lot of them just don't know how to fire anymore right now. And the sad part about it is, like, I've been out of work. So this podcast here has been my outlet to help me get through it all. And I hope at the same time it's helping you guys. And like I said, I'm pointing out men's mental health because those last 2 months, I went through some hell. All you can do is sit in your back and they feed you pain pills and stuff like that. And you can't sleep. I only slept like 2 hours a night for almost that whole 2 months. It was absolutely insane. I'd pace my house. I'd smoke cigarettes, unfortunately. And every once in a while, I'd be able to go out and take a walk. But for 2 months straight, I was on my back with this damn brace on. And all I thought to myself was, did I do the right decision getting the surgery? I had no idea. You know, my wife reassures me that I did do the right thing. But I had not in a very, very, very long time been this down and out. Like I said, the last time I felt this way, I was homeless, living out of my car for a month. And that was right around age 21, 22, somewhere in there. You know, a lot of people never knew that about me. But, you know, it's the struggles we go through. Sometimes I'd live during that dark period and not know if I'm going to have enough food. I lived off ramen for a very, very long time during that period. And you become creative on the ways you can make ramen just to sustain yourself on a daily basis. Yeah, that depression got so bad around that time, I had no idea what was up or down. Some nights you just sit in the dark because you didn't have enough money to pay the electric or whatever when you did have a home. So, you know, like I said, guys, don't ever let it get that bad. Reach out for help. Because you ain't in this alone. There's 6 million of us motherfuckers out there. You ain't in this alone. Not one bit. And I wish at one point in time, like I said, in yesterday's podcast, when I was a little heated talking about, like, trying to motivate you guys to get the shit out of you and get you guys to talk. My brother would be here if he talked. I know he tried getting in the VA, and I have a little issues with the VA these days because my brother tried so hard getting in there, and they just couldn't fit him in. They couldn't fit him in. So, what pisses me off the most is we can send billions of dollars over to fucking Ukraine. Billions of dollars over to Ukraine. But we can't get our vets help. That pisses me off to no end. That pisses me off to no end. And having to deal with the battles between back and forth to make sure that when you get your father's in a home, and when I say father's plural, my stepdad and my dad, and having to try to figure out all the VA stuff that goes with it and all the vetting and 100% and all that shit, you know. I watch those guys go through it, and they're well taken care of. And some seen shit, some didn't. My stepdad, he was shot 16 times in Vietnam. Well deserved. My dad, he was on a boat. I know he's seen a little bit of action, but not like my stepdad. My brother, on the other hand, he was in striker units over in Iraq. Well, at least one time blew up, and he had to piece his buddies back together the best he can as they died in his hands. When he was in Katrina to help with the cleanup, he's seen so many dead bodies down there because of people going through the waters and seeing if it was their family members. My brother did a hell of a lot for this country. On our shores and off our shores. And he royally got fucked with the system. And that pisses me off to no fucking end. Billions of dollars to Ukraine. We can't even take care of our homeless vets. Hell, we can't even fucking feed our children in the fucking schools here. But yet we have all this money to piss away everywhere else. It drives me up the fucking wall. And it's so common. Like, we just see in the news, billions going here, or this going here. Like, I think the American people need to stand the fuck up and finally say enough is enough when it comes to this. Like, take care of our own. I'm not saying that we should not be humanitarian by any fucking means whatsoever. Fuck, man, there's so many people in this fucking country that need help. So many. And it's fucking insane. Fucking insane. Like, just like I said, 6 million men. Depression. Vets. Military men out there. And women crying for fucking help because of the shit that they went through. It's a damn shame. A damn shame. You know, anybody, any guys out there fucking listening to this and you just want to, like, give a shout out, you want to, like, agree with me or disagree with me or whatever you want, you can send a message over to the Bartender's Jukebox voice message system on Spotify. I post it up everywhere. The Bartender's Jukebox is now on Google Pods, Amazon Music and Podcast, and also on iHeartRadio. So I'm really trying to branch this out more and more and give you guys availability to listen to this. And there's going to be definitely more interviews in the future and stuff like that. I have one coming up with Mr. Rob Noxious, Central Pennsylvania's premier wrestler. Let me tell you, my man's been doing it for years. And me and him are going to have a nice long sit down about men's mental health coming up Thursday next week. So definitely you want to be in tune for that one because my man, he definitely speaks from the heart and he's raw and unfiltered. And that's one of the things I love about the guy. So let's take a quick break here. And then when I come back, we'll get into some other kind of crazy stuff.
Red Queen! When I left that hospital, me and Pac was laughing and joking. So I don't see how somebody can turn from doing well to doing bad.
So you seriously think that he might still be alive?
I'm going to tell you this, Pac, you never know.
So he was conscious on the way to the hospital?
He was conscious on the way to the hospital. He was conscious in the ambulance. He was conscious after he did the surgery.
What was the last thing that he said to you?
They love me.
Rappers are continuing to leave more and more hints towards Tupac still being alive in 2023. Now here's what you need to know. Tupac had his life taken back in 1996. However, the suspect was never found, including a lot of evidence that was mysteriously lost in the process of court filings. This has led many to believe that the rapper is still alive out there somewhere. Many believe that Tupac faked his passing in order to escape the war between East and West Coast rap. To understand everything, we need to dive deeper into the original story as to how Tupac passed away. According to reports, on September 7th, 1996, Tupac was in Vegas with the head of his record label known as Suge Knight. They went to the MGM Grand to watch a Mike Tyson match, and after it was over, they spotted an op in the lobby of MGM. Now at the scene, another friend of theirs was with them. He was known as Trey, as Trey had apparently spotted a member of the C's that goes by the name of Baby Lane. When he noticed Baby Lane, he tried to warn Tupac. Tupac supposedly then went up to Baby Lane and asked him if he was from the South. Baby Lane would then tell Tupac that he is, and then immediately Tupac would then swing against Baby Lane, causing a massive scene in the middle of the lobby, leading to security coming and breaking the two up. Now Tupac and Suge Knight would then go back to their hotel to change their clothing, and then the two went off to a club to go party it up. Around 11 p.m, the two were pulled over for bumping their music too loud and driving without a license plate. However, their plates were actually located in the trunk of their vehicle, and as they put the license plates back on, a few minutes later a Cadillac would then stop by, where a man located in the back seat would roll his window down, lean out of the window, and start using a firearm towards Tupac and Suge Knight's vehicle. Now Tupac was hit multiple times, as well as Suge Knight. Suge Knight was able to drive off about a mile before getting pulled over again, to which the cops would actually rush them to a local hospital. At this moment, Tupac was now in critical condition. The doctor had to put him into a coma to stop it from getting any worse. Tupac stayed in the hospital for a very long time. Suge Knight, he was released earlier as not much damage had been done to him, as he was in a lucky spot inside of the vehicle. And then, about a week later on September 13th, we would hear Tupac allegedly passing from a heart attack after his lung had been affected during the incident. But oddly enough, the case was actually never solved till this day. Many believe the cops just didn't care enough to investigate on who was behind the entire scheme. But fans immediately started connecting the dots, and they believe that the notorious B.I.G. was the man behind the hit, as Biggie Smalls has been accused of going after Tupac in the past. Now this all started in 1994, when Tupac had gone to a studio to record a verse, and three guys would then go after him in the lobby, using firearms towards Tupac, as well as snatching his golden chains. Now coincidentally, Biggie and his crew were in the exact same studio when it all happened, but Biggie tried to cover it up, saying it was all a coincidence, and that he had nothing to do with any of it. But according to rumors, the story does not end there. Ever since it was declared that Tupac passed in 1996, theories about him faking his passing and still being alive was starting to rise all over the internet and news, as well as interviews with Suge Knight, as Tupac was apparently doing fine in the hospital right before his passing, stating, "I mean, when I left the hospital, me and Pac were laughing and joking, so I don't see how somebody can turn from doing so well to so bad." But what's weird about this is that Tupac was supposedly in a coma, so how in the world could he and Suge Knight be laughing if Tupac was unconscious? Now that does not seem to add up, but then again in 2018, Suge Knight's son would take to Instagram to state that Tupac was still alive and living in Malaysia. And then Suge Knight Jr. would go on to post this, another photo to his Instagram showing a text conversation where someone says, "You said too much, it's time for you to go." Then Suge Suge Knight's son posted another group of photos of Tupac with modern-day celebrities such as 50 Cent and Beyonce. He made it seem like someone was after Suge Jr. for leaking all of this info. On the pic with Tupac and Beyonce, he captioned it stating, "He never left us, but they'll be after me soon." While some believe this was all a publicity stunt for Suge Knight's son to gain clout online, others believe that this was all factual, in that Suge Knight Jr. would be the one to know more about this case than anyone else in the world, considering his father was right there on the scene beside Tupac. Now back in 2014, this is where Suge Knight would tell TMZ that Tupac was alive and well.
"I mean, when I left that hospital, me and Pac was laughing and joking. So I don't see how somebody can turn from doing well to doing bad."
So you seriously think that he might still be alive?
You never know.
And 6 months after Suge Knight leaked this information to TMZ, he almost lost his life at a nightclub when a man went after him 6 times with a firearm. However, Suge Knight was hesitant to tell the police anything, but many believe that it was all connected to him talking about Tupac to TMZ, which is weirdly similar to a 2010 interview with a rapper named Tretch, as he was interviewed with the topic of Tupac before a show. Tretch and Tupac were close homies back in the day, even working on a couple of albums together. But here's where things get very interesting. After Tretch's interview, the cameraman forgets to stop recording. He then puts his camera on the floor, and in the footage, you can hear the interviewer asking Tretch about Tupac, to which Tretch would respond as followed.
"So if you ain't ready for it, get on the sidewalk."
"One last question.
Hey guys, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Deluxe Podcast Edition. If you like all things podcasts and different kind of unique interviews, definitely check those guys out. Another podcast to check out is the Three Beards of Wrestling. If you're into indie wrestling, pro wrestling, all kinds of wrestling talk, definitely check out the Three Beards of Wrestling podcast. That is my shameless promos for the rest of this episode, so enjoy the rest.
Now, Tupac being alive in Cuba is most likely the most popular theory to this day. His aunt has been living in Cuba since 1994, and after she was convicted of taking someone's life in the USA, she had to escape. And then in 2018, a website called Reposters posted a photo of Tupac allegedly with Rihanna in Cuba. Now, some say this picture is fake. Many fans also believe it's real. In fact, the Cuba theory has become so popular that famous rapper Kendrick Lamar even references it in his track titled Element, where he raps the words, "Mr. 1 through 5, that's the only logic. Fake my passing, go to Cuba. That's the only option." Now, this would even lead to Eminem making a song about it too during one of his freestyles, where he would say, "A lot of talk and rumors on us. Who's the hottest? To be honest, hip-hop ain't been the same since Tupac moved to Cuba on us." Then, back in the 2000s, a video would be released mysteriously on a website and showed Tupac supposedly chilling in a parking lot. And if you still aren't convinced that Tupac could still be alive, in 2012, Suge Knight also said the situation with Tupac's body was very sketchy, as Knight went on a radio show to state, and I quote, "Maybe the question is, Pac's really not gone, but Pac is just somewhere else." Knight said, live on the air, "Nobody's seen Tupac's body. The person who supposedly cremated Tupac, this guy got about $3 million, personally from me, in cash. And the next thing I know, I never heard from the guy, or I never even seen him again. He retired and he left." And then another very strange detail was on the official report following Tupac's passing was allegedly that Tupac was listed as 215 pounds. Now, Tupac was a very slim dude. He was 5'9". Most sources say he actually weighed around 160 pounds. Now, a report being off this much is definitely suspicious. Then following that, an entire movie documentary was released in which details of the fact that Tupac is still alive. blood. Now, the filmmaker Rick Boss got straight to the point, talking about how Tupac escaped from Vegas in a helicopter. According to him, Tupac knew somebody was gonna try to do this to him, so he ordered a helicopter to rescue him. Tupac then used a body double to fake his passing, and the world would believe he was not alive. And then finally, possibly the wildest theory about Tupac is that he planned everything that went down, leaving clues for his fans to find. Strangely enough, right before this happened, Tupac had started going by the name Machiavelli, which was a tribute to an Italian philosopher named Niccolo. And this is all without even mentioning that Tupac would actually leave many clues in his album about sadly passing. This would leave many to believe that everything was planned. And if you do believe that as well, let us know in the comments on what you truly believe happened to Tupac.
Hey.
All right, so you heard some of the stuff going on with the whole Tupac conspiracy thing. Some from different rappers, Here's another thing that's come up over, I'd say, the last 2 years. There's a guy out there that almost looks identical to Tupac. Same crooked tooth, same marking on his forehead. And his name's Akilla the MC. A-K-I-L-A the MC. Look farther into that. Like, compare pictures, let me know. Post it on the Bartender's Jukebox. I want to get some voice messages in here, and I want to hear your thoughts as to, if you believe Tupac's still alive, if he is, if it's just the Killer of the MC guy, or if he's just laying low doing his thing, if he is. I mean, so many different theories out there. I know there was new breaks in the case recently as well, so, again, would love to hear what you guys have to say about it, so hit up the page and, let me know your thoughts.
To the Judas in my mind. Is there something left for me to say?
All right, it's been an episode or so since I've given out a cocktail recipe. So let's go with this one. Today is going to be the Negroni. You're going to take a rocks glass and put some rocks in it off to the side. If you don't know what rocks are, it's ice. And then you're going to take another glass, or if you have a mixer tin at home to mix this in, go ahead. You're going to put in some ice, and then you're going to go 1 ounce Campari, and then 1 ounce any gin of your choice, and then 1 ounce sweet vermouth. You're going to stir all those ingredients together, probably for about 40 stirs, get it nice and chill, but you don't want to break up the integrity of the alcohol itself where it waters down. You just want to get it nice and cold. And then when you're ready, strain that over ice in your rocks glass, and if you have an orange there, just give a little peel off of that. And what I like to do every once in a while is just kind of twist it and express it over the cocktail, and then just drop it right in and enjoy. Cheers. Since I gave you guys the Negroni recipe, well, you need something to pair with it food-wise. So, let's see. What pairs great with a Negroni? One thing that came up is corn cakes with balsamic tomato and peach salad with goat cheese. Huh. Another good one, simple. You're looking for that after dinner dessert. Dark chocolate with sea salt. Apparently that goes well with Negroni as well. Well, anybody out there imbibing? There's a pairing for you. Hope you guys enjoy.
Here's a 30-second trick to improve your mental health. If you're worried about a situation, write down everything that you're worried about. Then cross out all the things that you have no control over and focus on what you can control.
Yeah, I like that. I see the tension, it's rising. Put in the work, there's no hiding. I'm ready for whatever's coming. I'm running and leaving the hate all behind me. I see the world as my playground. I'm making plays, I don't play around. On the throne and I'm taking whatever I want. Put them up while I put it down. It's a long shot, but my aim's steady. When it comes down, better believe I'll be ready. Yeah, ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Ready for it.
When the fight comes, I'll be
ready for it.
Yeah,
ready for it. Ready for it.
Plus my IQ is the reason I'm far from the bottom, yeah. When the fight comes and my palms sweaty, I ain't backing down, better believe I'll be ready.
Ready for it.
When the fight comes and I'm all alone.
Ready for it.
When there's no one around.
Ready for it.
I'm ready for it.
Better believe I'll be ready.
All right, I'm going to bring back a segment I used to do back when I would DJ on the airwaves of radio back in the day. This is called Odd News, and I find weird and odd stories on the internet, and I like to share. So, one odd thing I've found so far is bear breaks into California home and raids fridge. Well, I don't know what I would do if a bear had raided my fridge. Like, could you imagine getting up like 2 in the morning and hearing some rustling around in your kitchen, and all of a sudden it's a fucking bear? All right. Well, since it is the bartender's juice box, distillery spill floods streets of Portuguese town with wine. Over 600,000 gallons of wine spilled into the streets of Portugal. Oh, wow. Texas deputies round up a pair of pint-sized loose goats. Yeah. Okay, it's not too odd. I mean, anything else? Maryland man collects a second $50,000 lottery prize using the same numbers, which was his license plate. Huh. Talk about a lucky fellow there. Yeah, all right, what else we got here? Oh, electronic construction sign displays profanity in Houston. Public worker officials in Houston said they do not know how an electronic construction sign came to display a profane message. Nowadays, anybody can hack things. It's, All right, what else we got? So much stuff here. Oh, here's one. In England, there was a sinkhole, and a steer had gotten stuck in it, and they had to extract it out. Luckily, it lived. All right. That's not too odd. That's kind of some basic kind of news stuff. Let's see here. Police chase loose lemurs through Missouri neighborhood. Huh. Mysterious objects spotted in the sky over Illinois town. Circus performer breaks world record with 8 flaming hula hoops. Good for her. I would not want to do that myself. Nope. No, thank you. Let's see if there's anything else in here for news of the weird. Well, let's go to the next page. Alright, so mysterious yellow line appears on 23 miles of Florida highway. Let's click on this one. Drivers on a stretch of highway in the Jacksonville, Florida area reported a mysterious yellow line weaving through lanes, and officials said they are still trying to determine its origins. Huh. Somebody's out there messing with people. Always that one, huh? Always that one, guys. Oh, there we go. Cockatoo breaks speed record on tiny scooter. A 7-year-old cockatoo, has claimed the title of the fastest parrot on wheels after breaking the Guinness World Records for riding a pint-sized scooter. You go, bird. Indiana man attempts to catch tennis balls behind his back. An attempt for a world record. Okay. Oh, so, all right, here we go. Long-lost X-Wing model from Star Wars 1977 up for auction. Goes for $400,000. Growing up, I had that exact same thing. If only it was in mint condition. $400,000? What the hell? Geez, all these toys I had when I was a kid that are fucking worth a lot of money now. Alright, here's an odd one. Yoga class meditation exercise confused for ritual mass murder scene. Police descended on a community space in Britain when some local dog walkers mistook a yoga class, group meditation exercise, for the results of a ritual mass murder. Ay, ay, ay. That's crazy. I would feel very awkward mistaking that. I mean, good thing they called, but I mean, I'd still feel awkward mistaking that. Stowaway snake hitches a ride with North Carolina driver. Seems a lot of snake ones there. Picked up in baggage claimings or in people's cars somehow. Florida researchers offer $50 bounty for caught cobia. Which is a certain kind of fish. Researchers in Florida are offering anglers a $50 reward to donate any cobia they catch off the state's coast. All right. Police wrangle runaway rabbit at British Columbia train station. Oh, yeah, it's like all these animals getting loose. Let's see here. We'll go one more on this. If I don't find a good one, I'll tell you one that I heard over the radio probably back in the late 80s, early 90s. Surprising that I remember that since I was just a kid, but it's always a story that stood out with me. Alright. Ah, Beyonce fan goes into labor during California concert. Hey, Beyonce. A Beyonce concert in California became extramemorial for one fan when she went into labor during the superstar's performance. Huh, right on. A 7-year-old makes 2.95 carat discovery at Arkansas Crater of Diamonds. A 7-year-old girl on a birthday trip to Crater of the Diamond State Park in Arkansas found a big present, a 2.95 carat diamond. All right, here's another one. This one's quite interesting because my family taking over a farm here recently. Colorado Orchards 2.02-pound peach might be a new record. A Colorado orchard owner said he believes a 2.02-pound peach grown on his trees might be the new Guinness World Records. Seeing the picture of it, he's definitely got two hands on it. It looks like a mini cantaloupe there. What else we got going here? Police wrangle 12-foot python found slithering downtown roadway. Police in England respond to an unusual call when a 12-foot Burmese python was spotted slithering down a street. Oh, here we go. New York comedian breaks donut stacking world record. A New York comedian broke a world record on a live streaming show by arranging 13 donuts into a stack in 1 minute. Yeah, anything to break a record, huh, folks? Yeah, let's see. Bear breaks into Florida family's screen porch, drinks 3 White Claws. A 3-legged bear broke into a Florida woman family's enclosed porch and helped itself to 3 White Claws from the fridge. Huh. Yeah. You better have to watch out for these bears. All right. So, the story I remember back from when I was a kid, and I listened to the radio station Y102, and I remember them talking about this. There was, might have been Ohio or something like that. So, lady finds a spider. She goes to kill it, and she stomps it, beats the heck out of it, grabs the paper towel, throws it in the toilet, and then uses like 5 or 6 cans of Raid to ensure that this spider was dead. So, the spider seems gone. Her husband comes home, and back in the days, a lot of people used to smoke in their house and stuff like that, so this gentleman was smoking while he was on the toilet. The woman had put so much Raid in the toilet that when he went to flick his cigarette in it, it caught fire and, well, basically exploded more or less and threw him off the toilet. Now, as screwed up as that is alone, here's where it gets worse. When the paramedics came to take him to the hospital, they're bringing him down the steps, and his wife is telling the whole story of what had happened, and the EMTs had laughed so hard they dropped her husband down the steps. You don't need 4 or 5 cans of Raid, folks. You really don't. A good shoe does the trick. Alright, so there is the news of the odd, weird, and strange. Now I'll try to put that more back into my podcast as the episodes go along. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Guys, here are some basic tips I can help you with your mental health. I know it's tough reaching out and talking to somebody, but build social connections with people. You know, being around people sometimes is a big factor that helps out with that. I know during the pandemic I was out of the loop for almost 2 years there, and I know it started taking its toll on me. And these last 2 months, like I said, I've been out of a social environment, and it put me in a downward spiral. So if you get the chance to be around people, make an effort towards it. I know sometimes it's tough to get out of bed or just to even pick your head up off that pillow whatsoever, you know. But if you get force yourself to go out and socialize, it does help. Or if you could have the focus to do it, engage in a hobby. Having a hobby you enjoy can support your mental health in one way or another. It helps take you out of that scenario of your everyday that you're dealing with. That for me, this is the podcast, so it's really helping me get out of the funk. And you know, if it's whatever hobby it is, if it's playing basketball, playing the guitar, writing, reading, do it. Another good one is getting exercise too. I know sometimes guys, they like to kind of like they don't want to reach out, like I've said, so they always feel like they need to keep themselves in one way or another. They need to keep it inside. And a good thing is regular exercise. So if you're hitting the gym, if you're getting out there, running, even walking, whatever it is, that will also help you with your health. And nourish your body. Like, nourish your body. Make sure you're eating good and stuff like that. I know comfort foods daily, like ice creams and junk food and shit like that. I mean, trust me, it feels good in the moment, but it does bring down your health, that's for sure. And not because of, like, just the physical attributes to it, but you're not feeding your brain at the same time the right stuff. And, you know, if you tried all that stuff and it's not really working for you, I personally, I'm doing it myself. I do recommend counseling. It fucking helps, you know. Don't put yourself down thinking that you're a pussy or a wuss or whatever it is. I mean, if you need fucking help and you feel like you need to talk to somebody, man, consider counseling. Like, definitely consider it. Like, there's programs now where you can just do it right from your phone and they don't even have to, like, see you face to face. You know, I get it 100%, but those are some tips that you can do to help with your mental well-being and help get you back on track. I love all you guys out there. You're my brothers. Let's lift each other up. thank you, everybody, for coming along in this journey of the Bartender's Jukebox, especially the last few episodes and stuff like that. Every day it seems like I'm going to be doing one. It's been a great outlet for me. Today we talked a little bit about the Tupac conspiracy, if he's alive or dead. And we touched base on some more men's mental health. Mental health in general is a very important part of us growing as people and being able to surpass our own boundaries. And depression definitely limitates that. It can be crippling. My brothers out there know I am there. You can always hit me up here on the Bartender's Jukebox. And same goes for anybody else, too. You know, you got shit going on. And just send me a message here on the jukebox. We can put it on or talk it out, one of the two. But like I always say, my friends, stay thirsty for music, stay thirsty for life, and stay thirsty for experience. We live in this world as one. Let's be united. Cheers.
Hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.